I'll be in Matthew 1 this morning, if you'd like to turn or tap to Matthew 1. If you're using a pew Bible, you can turn to page 827 if you'd like to follow along there. I'll be reading from there, and then some other verses that you won't probably be able to keep up with. But this is going to be our main text this morning. I'm going to keep it short. I know you have things to do, or maybe you just want to squirrel away in your house with the heat cranked up. That's great. And enjoy your Christmas day. If you were here last night, these verses are going to sound familiar to you. And even if you weren't here last night, these verses are going to sound familiar to you. And even if you're not, you're kind of new to the Bible and you're not, you know, not, haven't read it a lot, or you're just kind of getting to know the Bible maybe, they're still going to sound familiar to you, even if you didn't grow up around church and the Bible. I don't get tired of it. It's familiar to me as well. I love to hear the Christmas story, and so I don't get tired of it. I read some of these last night, and I'm going to read them again today. So this is coming from the New International Version. I'm in Matthew chapter 1. I'm going to start at verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. Now we know from the rest of the chapter, if you have read that before, we know that Joseph obeyed. He trusted that message from God and obeyed and went ahead and stayed with Mary and eventually married her, including obeying what the angel said about what name to give the child, which is Jesus. Matthew tells us the meaning of that word because Matthew was written in Greek, and maybe not everybody understood when they were reading this in Greek because they weren't Hebrews. And the name means God with us. And that's the title of today's sermon, God with us. Sometimes Emmanuel is translated with an I into English, and sometimes it's an E, and both are correct, so don't think, you know, somebody's messed up or anything. I or E, it's all the same as I in the NIV, it's E at other places. I want you to think about that title for Jesus. It wasn't really his birth name, but the angel said he would be called Emmanuel. The angel also said that his name, his given name, would be Jesus. I want to stick on his birth name, Jesus, for just a moment. That was a common name, and it was the same as Joshua in the Old Testament. Jesus in Greek. Joshua in the Old Testament or in Hebrew. And Joshua is still a common name today. There's at least one Joshua in here. There might be two. I don't know. I know three or four in my life. So it's a really common name. In Hebrew, and my Hebrew pronunciation is like preschool level, so in Hebrew it sounds something like Yeshua is Joshua. So Jesus is the Greek form of the same name. And in Hebrew, Joshua meant or means, or Jesus in Greek, or in our, the way we pronounce it in English, it means Yahweh saves. God saves. That's why the angel told Joseph that this child would save people from their sins. So even his birth name has significance. It is important. Jesus, being God himself, came to save us from our sins. He didn't just live up to the name. He embodied that name. God saves. Yahweh saves. But back to the title that the angel said, he will be called Emmanuel. Now, if you remember this, the angel told Joseph that he would be called Emmanuel. That was his title. And the angel quoted from the prophet. The angel didn't say what they were quoting from, what prophet they were quoting from, but we can figure it out by reading the Old Testament. And he was quoting, or she, I don't know if angels are she's or whatever, but the prophet was Isaiah. Now keep in mind, this is amazing to me, keep in mind that the prophecy that Isaiah spoke and eventually wrote down, this prophecy was made 700 years at minimum before Jesus was born. Between 700 and 740 years, somewhere in that. So let's take a look at the verse that the angel was talking about. Isaiah 7:14. The Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. And Emmanuel, again, means God with us. That's what it means in Hebrew. Which is when Matthew translated into Greek again, that he explained the translation. God with us. I've known that phrase. I know what Emmanuel means. I've known that since I was a kid growing up in church and hearing it in songs and around Christmas time and all of that. And so I'm pretty familiar with the name, Emmanuel, or the title, whichever you want to call it. And I would say most of you, if not all of you, are familiar with Emmanuel. Maybe you knew what it meant. Maybe you didn't. So it's super familiar to me, and to many of you, if not all of you. But when I stop and think about it, and I mean really, really think about it, just meditate on the meaning of that word or title or name, Emmanuel. If I think about it enough, I get so blown away that it's like I'm a two-year-old that discovered the light switch. There's no light switch there, by the way. Two-year-old discovers a light switch. Turn the light on, turn the light off, turn the light on. And they're just, whoa, that's crazy. And when you think about this, it is a mind-blowing concept. Every religion except Christianity, I don't call Christianity a religion, but I get why people call it a religion. But every other religion requires that you go to a deity of some sort. You approach a deity or some higher power or some such thing, whatever the religion or the person thinks in their mind that that is. You're supposed to go to that deity, and you're supposed to do what that deity says and try to please them in hopes that you do enough right things that you might have favor with the deity, and then some believe in afterlife, some don't. Some believe in reincarnation, whatever it is. But followers of Jesus, we know that it was the other way around. We know that God came to us. He became one of us. Now, I've heard that too 100 times, thousands of times maybe. But wow, God came to us. Keep focusing on that idea, that concept this morning. God is with us. God himself, the creator of all that is known, all that is unknown, things to be discovered, yet he created it all. He came to us and he is with us. I want to look at Psalm 8, a couple of verses there, actually 3 verses in there, because these passages I'm going to show you tell us something about our place as human beings in the universe, where God has us in the universe. So that includes you. You're a human being. I am one too. And so we're going to see where our place is in the universe. Psalm 8, verses 3 through 5. And by the way, David wrote the psalm. And he's speaking to God. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings, that you care for them. You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. So this is what the Bible says about human beings, that we have been crowned with glory and honor by God. That was his choice. That's how he sees us. So we've been given that by God, that this crowning of glory and honor, but we are also still under his authority. I highlighted part of that verse. It's in white. Hopefully it stands out for you there on the screens. And verses 4 and 5 of Psalm 8 are quoted by the author of Hebrews twice, including that phrase specifically. You have made them a little lower than the angels. So we know our place in God's kingdom. Humans are a little lower than the angels, according to the Bible, but we are very, very important to God. If you ever feel unimportant, if you ever feel nobody cares about you, know that the God of the universe who created you cares for you as an individual. Now, you're important to God, but of course you aren't God. So we know our place. One of the times that Hebrews quotes this verse is in chapter 2, but this time the writer of Hebrews is talking about Jesus. And so just look at one verse in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. But we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. I highlighted that phrase again that comes from Psalm 8. It's partially quoted here. Jesus was made a little lower than the angels for a little while. Now, do you see the profound significance in that statement? Just that statement I have highlighted there. God the Son voluntarily made himself a little lower than the angels. The exact position we hold in the universe as human beings. Your God was willing to come and live life as you do. And by the grace of God, the eternal Son allowed himself to be killed. He experienced death just like you and I will someday, unless you happen to be around when Jesus returns and takes you home. I don't know about that. Nobody knows when that's going to happen. But maybe you'll be alive, maybe you won't. But otherwise, you're going to die. Right? Happy Christmas message. But that helps Jesus to understand us. Not that he didn't, but we can relate that he could relate now, because he went through everything, including death. So, you know, he gets you. He thinks, people just don't understand me. They don't get me. Sometimes you get that feeling. No, Jesus understands. He gets you. All your quirky stuff, all the stuff, the good, the bad, and in between. Jesus gets you. Because he became like you. That's why the angel told Joseph that he would be called Emmanuel, which was from a prophecy. Now, I realize that Hebrews, this verse from Hebrews, is not a traditional Christmas verse. But I say it is a Christmas verse. It's not about the birth per se. But he was made a little lower than the angels. He became a human being for a while. Jesus came as a baby. You know, he could have just appeared one day in Israel somewhere and been 30 years old and gone into ministry. He had that power. He had that authority. He could just have appeared as a fully grown person. But no, he came as a baby, went through baby things. He knows what it's like to be a little kid. He knows what it's like to be a teenager. He knows what it's like to be a young adult and on into adulthood. He understands. Oswald Chambers wrote this, and in fact, if you read My Utmost for His Highest on a daily basis, it comes from today's reading. But Oswald Chambers said this. Can't get enough of Oswald myself. But he said, Jesus Christ was born into this world, not from it. He did not emerge out of history. He came into history from the outside. That's the end of the quote. Jesus was made a little lower than the angels for a little while. He was on our level. Long enough to know what you deal with in life. And long enough to experience death. He experienced death on the cross. Now, is that not the greatest thing you've ever heard in your life? Is that just not amazing? Even though you know it, I'm not telling you anything you didn't know. But it's amazing, truly amazing. The verse is still up there. It says, now Jesus is crowned with glory and honor. Not the kind God crowned us with, that's a different kind. But he sits at the right hand of the Father, and he'll be coming back one day. So he's returned to heaven. And by the way, many people were witnesses. It wasn't just a couple of people saw this. You can look in Acts chapter 1 sometime, and there were several people that were gathered and saw him taken up into heaven. So he's gone back to heaven. He's at the right hand of the Father. But he has not left us alone. His people have not been left alone. If you know him, he has not left you alone, even when you feel your loneliness, the loneliest you can feel. And he will never leave you alone. He promised to always be with us. Not in the same way he was with people in the first century as a human being that could sit down and have a meal with him. But he's still with us. Now I'm going to jump over to John 14, just a couple of verses there. And in this, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. God made sure this was in the Bible, part of his word. So he's speaking to you if you know him. If you're a Christ follower, this is for us too. And he said this. I love John 14, 15, and 16. It's great stuff. But anyway, John 14, 16, and 17. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. The Father is God. Jesus the Son is God. The Holy Spirit, who Jesus is talking about here, the Holy Spirit is God. And God is eternal, without beginning or end. He exists outside of our history, outside of our time. I'm going to get into that for the New Year's Day sermon next week. So God's eternal, no beginning, no end. And Jesus said, if you are his follower, you have received the Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit lives in you and promises to never leave you. The same Holy Spirit who, through a miracle, caused Mary to be pregnant. That's not possible without the other ways that we could do that. To this day, medical science hasn't caught up with that one, a virgin conceiving and delivering a child. God is still Emmanuel. God is still with us, and he will never, never leave you. That's the heart of the Christmas story right there. He came, and he won't leave us, not those of us that know him. God with us. So do you know Jesus? If you do, God is still with you. He will never leave you. You can bank on that promise. God always keeps his promises. If you don't know him or you're not sure, you can believe on the name of Jesus at any time you're ready. When you're ready to do that, you can do that. If you want to talk about that, I'll hang around after the service. We can make an appointment or something. We can get together this week. My information's in the bulletin. Or you can talk to somebody else in here if you're comfortable with that. So Emmanuel, he has come, and he didn't just come and then take off. He is still with you. And in that context, I say, Merry Christmas. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you made this choice to voluntarily come to earth knowing what your ultimate mission was. Knowing that you would go to the cross and experience an agonizing death. Jesus, thank you. Father, thank you for sending your Son and being willing to go through that anguish yourself. And Holy Spirit, we thank you for drawing us to you, and drawing us to the name of Jesus, and living in us, guiding us, and constantly calling us back to the Father and the Son, calling us back to yourself. I thank you for every person here. I pray that they have a great Christmas. Lord, we thank you for this service and this building and letting us be together in the name of Jesus. And that's who I pray in. Amen.